Is that when you had your eyes on, like, all right, I got to get an internship?
I got an intern next month. So my first internship was actually with Southwest. So, like, internship turned to, like, a contractor position. It was like a knock analyst, though. It wasn't really – it was really desktop support, if I'm being honest. And I think that was paying, like, $30, $35 an hour.
I want to actually talk about the internship that we met each other at that – he probably bullshit. Ain't learning because I know I ain't learning.
Didn't learn shit at the internship.
So listen, they spent all the money in the world to build a new sock just to lay us off. They didn't give us any training on how to use their sim, or like what, like
we that had was no, terrible, bro.
We had no use cases. I swear to God, the only thing we did, and he can vouch for this, was look for WannaCry. Once WannaCry popped,
bro, I was like.
I don't know if you want to at a high level, if you want to talk about
Cisco.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah. They were, I was working with racist interns. it was so crazy. So,
but real quick, we want you to bless the audience. A general number of like your total comp.
It's close to 500.
Is that when you had your eyes on like, all right, I got to get
in. So, my first internship was actually with Southwest. So like internship turned to like a contractor position. It was like, I was like a knock analyst, though. It was really desktop support, if I'm being honest. And I think that was paying like $30, $35 an hour.
I want to actually talk about the internship that we met each other at. That he probably ain't learning because I know I ain't learning.
Didn't learn at the internship.
So listen, they spent all the money in the world to build a new sock just to lay us off. They didn't give us any training on how to use their sim. Or like what, like
we that had was
no,
terrible, bro.
We had no use cases. I swear to God, the only thing we did, and he can vouch for this, was look for WannaCry. Once WannaCry popped,
bro, I was like,
I don't know if you want to at a high level, if you want to talk about
Cisco.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, they were. I was working with racist interns. it was so crazy.
But real quick, we want you to bless the audience. A general number of like your total comp.
It's close to 500.
Are you interested in starting your career in the cloud? Well, if that's you, then I got some for you. Level Up in Tech is a comprehensive 24-week program guaranteed to help you land a high-paying role in the cloud. Some of the skills that they teach you in Level Up in Tech are server config and troubleshooting, AWS, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, scripting, containerization, and more. Level Up in Tech has helped over 800 people start their career in the cloud. So, if you're interested in the program, click the link in my bio, click under Tech Resources, and click on Start Your Cloud Career.
But my icebreaker for you is going to be, all right, you got to pick one.
Yeah.
Big glow or sexy red?
In the aspect of what?
Have fun, anything. Like, either or.
Like, you say have fun, what do you mean by have fun?
Like, you might want to go have, like, a good time or something. Like, who seem like they're going to be funner?
Nah, so that's crazy, though, because I was in Houston like a month or so ago at a conference I was speaking at, and Glorilla was out there at the strip club.
You ran into her?
Yeah, I ran into the strip club. She was on the stage doing, but I don't know, I feel like sexy red though, like fun wise. Oh man, that's a good question. Probably Glorilla, because I feel like sexy red, I feel like she had too much fun for me. Like she just like, it depends on what we doing. You gotta kind of tell them, like, what is the event? Like, where are we at? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's good.
You know, like, are we at a strip club?
You know what?
We at the club.
I feel like part of me want to say big sexy.
Nah, I definitely think, like.
Part of me want to, but I don't know if she know how to act.
But I ain't want to say that.
Nah.
Because I feel like Glorilla, she know how to, I feel like sexy red is like, I don't care. Like, but then that's also like, that's where the fun going to be at too, like. Turn us up. But that, I think that's really what I was trying to say. Like, I don't really know, like, if she gonna act right.
Nah, I feel you for sure. Let me
see. That's a good question, though. That's a good question.
Right. Let me go ahead and intro the pod real quick. Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. Well, I'm your host, HD. And we got a banger for y'all today, man. We got the infamous Tayon Tech. Listen, this is a real intro. I ain't seen this dude since 2019 in person. And we stayed in the same area. No, it's not.
It is.
Damn. I ain't seen you, like, think about it, since the pandemic. I ain't seen you, like, in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen you since you had your little girls.
Yeah. Last time I seen you, we went to Gators.
Oh, we went to Gators. Yeah. Damn.
So that's a long time ago.
It has been a minute.
Yeah. But y'all know what to do, man. If y'all on the podcast, man, or YouTube, or you're listening, hit the like button, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. But I don't need to introduce my guests, but I'm going to introduce them. You may know him as Tavion Payton, Tayon Tech, Mr. I done had 3 or 4 luxury cars in like 2 years, Mr. I'm Rich, Mr. High Rise, Mr. Cybersecurity, Mr. I was doing Black Tech Twitter before it was cool. We got none other than Mr. You know, Tayon Tech in the building. And, you know, I'm just going to let him introduce himself and tell the audience about him.
Yeah, so introduce myself. Tayon Tech. I've been in the security industry since I was about 19. I'm 27 now, so 8 years. Kind of starting out from high school, I had no idea what cybersecurity, even the tech industry was. I thought I was going to be a politician until I started taking those classes and reading all the books and having to do all this research. And I was like, yeah, no, this isn't it. But yeah, one of my junior college professors, he introduced me to Ethica Hacking. And he told me you can actually get paid to do this stuff. And I was like, what? And I fell in love ever since.
Yeah, man. And I want you to briefly talk about, you know, I'm from Louisiana, but you from Mississippi.
Oh, hold on. We're not just going to say like, oh, like Mississippi just versus Louisiana. It's the same thing.
I'm just talking about we from states that typically people is not really doing much. They either in jail or they working like some regular job or, you know, struggling to make ends meet. And like education there is like very low. So more so, I was just talking about in a sense, like for the fact you coming out of Mississippi, doing what you do now, is like, do you ever think about that sometimes? Like, came from Mississippi?
No, so...
He ain't even from Jackson.
No, so, like, the past... Because, you know, I've been in my house and things like that. And so, like, I've been homeless for, like, the last 2.5, 3 months. So, I've been going back, like, to Mississippi and stuff. And, like, when I just be riding around, I'm like, damn, like, if I would have stayed here, this would have been me. Like, my thing was, if I would have stayed in Mississippi, like, the height of my career probably would have been, like, a Geek Squad manager or something like that. Because it's like... That's all I really knew. Like, I didn't know nothing. Like, we don't have no big corporations there. Like, you get to be a manager at Walmart, call center. There's, like, no really jobs out there to where you can be like, oh, I work in the tech industry. I wouldn't have been exposed to nothing like that. But then, like, me moving out here to Texas, like, it exposed me to everything. So, no, as when I go back home, I just be looking around. I just see everything. I'm like, dang, man. Like, my life could have turned out so much more different if I would have stayed.
Right. That's how I feel. And I feel like. I looked up in a sense only because right when I graduated, I had to go back home, and I did get the help desk gig in Bossier by the Air Force Base. But that's because, well, now it's GDIT. They had a contract out there. Yeah. But before then, there wasn't any jobs out there, and that was apparent to me having to move.
Yeah.
I couldn't find no job anywhere. I probably had one of the higher-paying jobs in the area, and that was only that $40K.
Yeah, and that's the thing out there, because I know when I actually was like, you know, I kind of want to pursue like a career in technology. Like, I looked up, like, network engineer, security engineer for, like, the whole state of, like, Mississippi. I think it was, like, 5 jobs that came back, and it was, like, help desk. It was, like, in Vicksburg, because Vicksburg have, like, a nice little tech. I ain't going to say tech space, but something. And so when I look into, like, Dallas, Texas itself, thousands and thousands of jobs. And I'm like, I'll be a fool to stay in Mississippi when, like, oh, this is here. So that's what made me laugh. Like, I looked it up, and I was like, yeah, nah, I'm gone.
Yeah, same here. It was like Indeed for Shreveport, LA, 10, 15 jobs, Dallas, 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah.
So definitely. So I'm a little older than you, and I ain't going to do you. Since you're a little older than Marquise, I don't do you like I do Marquise. I really do. Marquise will be turning, I think, like 25 or 26.
Marquise was like 30.
Nah, he young. Damn. You didn't see me clowning him about him being actual like a Gen Z, non-90s baby?
No, I'm dead. Wait. Oh, he really not.
Because you born 96. Yeah, 96. So
he's more like 99.
I'll let y'all slide a little bit.
Yeah, we barely make it, though.
I have a cousin that's around your age. He was kind of like a little brother for a little bit. He was at my house like every weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was like, he know a lot of the stuff I used to watch. So I was like, I let 96 pass. But like 97, 98, nah.
Yeah. But sometimes you got to let 96 pass. You kind of got to let 97 pass, too. Kind of.
I don't know. It depends. Like if you 4 years old in the year 2000, I think you decent. I think you straight.
Yeah, I get it. I guess it depends on how you was raised at 97. But, like, 96 is really the cutoff. Right. It's really 95, but 96 just really kind of we grazed by.
Did you do any, like, community college or anything like that in Mississippi? Or
no.
Did you come out here to
do community college? So, when I left Mississippi, like, in my head, as soon as I graduated, I was gone. So, I went to school in Alabama. I went to a school called University of Mobile. And It was like a small little private school or whatever. I went there for like a year. And then I moved out here to Texas to actually run track. But then I had a knee injury. And it was like, school wanted me to walk on instead of giving me a scholarship. I'm like, I'm not paying this. So I ended up doing that. And then I went to Farmers Branch. DCCD. Anyway, some community college in Farmers Branch. I stayed there for like a semester, and I moved to Arlington, and I went to like Tarrant County. And I took like a computer science course, hated it. And then for one of my electives, I chose like intro to cybersecurity or something like that. And man, I fell in love. Like, like it was just like, yeah, bro, I was staying at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, like learning stuff, doing labs. And it was just, I don't know, it was like love at first sight. Yeah. Like I didn't have to like force myself to learn. It was like, nah, I really want to learn this. And that's not to say, you know, anybody that want to get in this industry, you got to have a passion for it. Because I'm all about the type of person like, hey, man, get your money. Like, get your money. You don't have to have a passion for it, but it helps a whole hell of a lot if you do have a passion for it. Like, you don't feel like you're wrecking anymore. It's just like, all right, cool. Like, this is fun to me, and I'm getting paid to do stuff that I enjoy doing anyways. But, yeah, you definitely don't need to have a passion for it, but it helps if you do.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You going on what, year 6 or 7, 8? Eight.
Well, if you want to count, because you know they don't like to count internships. They don't count internships. I'm like, bro, I was doing the same shit. So
I count your internships. Yeah, I count what I was doing at the College of Business.
Yeah,
like my little IT gig.
So we count internships like 8 years.
Yeah,
if we count in outside of that, like 5.
Yeah. So, but you know, I want to say I'm gonna push back on. I think you do gotta like it because you, me, they, Marquise, or anybody else we know, the people that's actually going out to keep on learning and build other skills or can fix problems and have value, they excel because they like what they do.
Yeah, but you also got to think about this as well, too. Like,
and I'm going to keep it in the premise of maybe focusing on more technical roles.
Yeah.
Because non-technical is a little bit different.
Yeah, it's completely different. Yeah. Well, I say the thing is in our roles, it depends on, like, what type of person you are in the role. Like, are you an individual contributor? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you a person that has to be told what to do and things like that? And most likely, like, if you're someone that don't really care about it, you're probably going to get told what to do. And I'm not going to say they frown upon it, but it's like, you're an engineer. So it's like, we hired you to solve problems.
Right.
And so I guess once you get more, like, into it with your job and you really start just looking at stuff, then I feel like you eventually become to liking it. Like, you know what I mean? Because you don't stay in tech 10, 15 years and not somewhat like
it. And so that's the whole thing is like some of these people are just starting.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, get your money. But yeah. I let them know, hey, if you just want to do whatever you're going to do, you might just want to try something else because your job may be phased out if you don't try to keep on learning.
Exactly. Bingo. And that's one thing I try to tell people too, like especially in this space. Like, we see it every day where, like, people get, like, outsourced, like, India, especially in cybersecurity. Like, tier one, cycle level, and stuff like that, they quick to source that out. And so that's why I try to tell people, like, I mean, analyst jobs are a great stepping stone.
Yeah.
But you definitely want to have those skill sets where you can, like, solve problems and engineer stuff. And just being able to have, like, you know, be a solution-oriented type of person versus just, hey, so what should I do next? Because it's like, I hired you to tell me what to do.
Exactly. And that's one of some of the things I talk about in my LinkedIn course, strictly about that, how to go in somewhere. And by the time you hit 6 months to a year, you already made a good impression. And you can do what you want or you can stay there.
And you'll be surprised, though, like, because I know with me, when the first time, like, I get an environment, just because I've been in so many different environments, especially when I was consulting, like, I know what's like.
We definitely going to get on that.
Yeah. So you just really understand, like, okay, this don't look right. I've seen this, like, these logs don't look right. Do we have this covered? Like, it's like, as you get more experience, your job gets so much more easier. Cause like, I know I just feel like built out this data pipeline. This is very kind of new to me. Like I'm, you know, it's like engineering, like some cloud stuff and data. It was basically, it was data engineering. Like it wasn't even, it was kid engineering, but it was data engineering. And I learned so many different skill sets. And I'm just like, dang, like now if I was to go do this, like it took me like 3 months to do this project. If I was to go back and do it now, it probably took me like 3 weeks. So it just,
but that's the fun of it. That's the grind. We're gonna get into that. I want to briefly ask you. So, you left the college in Arlington, and then so after that, is that when you went to North Texas?
Yeah.
Tell us about North Texas, because I would tell the audience that ideally him, he didn't major in CIS or computer science.
Mm-hmm.
He did it an unconventional way. So I actually want him to touch on that.
Yeah, no, so man, I kind of finessed my degree all around. Like, I didn't take any math or science. Well, no, I did take science. I didn't take any math classes. So I didn't take any like pre-cal, calculus, trig, none. I didn't have to take any of that because I took like AP calculus in high school and got the credit. But when I went to UNT, I have a degree that's called Integrative Studies. And with Integrative Studies, you basically choose like three colleges, like, you know, School of Business, School of Engineering, all that. You choose three of them and you have to select classes from them. So I chose College of Business, which was Business Computer Information Systems, that was that. Computer of Engineering, I think, or yeah, School of Engineering, which was Computer Science, and then Learning Technologies, which was actually like IS class, Information Security, or there's Information Technology and things like that. And I kind of like, I knew I wanted to do cybersecurity, so I looked at all the classes IT related, because I mean, at the end of the day, cybersecurity is just you securing the IT stuff. So database management, system admin, networking fundamentals. I took a damn assembly class. I can't believe I did that. I took assembly.
Hold on, what's assembly?
Very low level program language. So I can't even tell you what they really use it for.
They were teaching us Visual Basic.
What the fuck? Well, nah, yeah.
It was on no job application.
Bro, try assembly, bro. Try run it, like, so you use assembly to create compilers. So it's stuff like that. But yeah, so I was just taking like, you know, certain classes like that. And so like the way how, and then like some they have like certain prereqs is like, oh, you need to take this class. I'm like, well, I would go to a community college, take it. Cause like say for instance, if I wanted to take like a certain level programming class, it's like, oh, well, you got to take physics as well as like Cal 2 and some other bullshit. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, you know, I'm having to take three classes where I can take this one. So I would just go take like the first programming class at a community college, roll it over, and it would be the prereq for the second level course. And so I would skip out like that. So I was like transferring back and forth, and it was like, all right, bet. So I was actually supposed to be there for like five semesters, but I ended up being there for like three. So by just kind of going down like even with my school counselors and stuff like that, I wouldn't even go into them because like when I it was basically like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Do the offer this like this semester and stuff like that's the only time I was kind of go
to
them.
Your advisors to sign off on what
yeah, because like the way how they would have me, I've probably been at UNT for like 3 years.
Yeah, and that's what we should actually talk about that because advisors got a lot of stuff going on. They really not that concerned with your career
man,
journey.
They're not
like for real. I know they was never telling me like the right class. It was up to me to look at my curriculum and say, okay, I want to take this, this, and this. I want this teacher. I want to get here. Like you got to do all that stuff. So. Find you some friends that's been to college before if you need help. If not, you're going to strike out trying to go by what your advisor say, put you in the wrong classes and all that. Yep. Happened to my brother. He was at school. He was like, yeah, I was in the wrong class. I was like, you ain't paying attention to what the class was?
Yeah, bro. In college, you really got to be invested. Like, you really got to look out for yourself. Like, in my opinion, though, I don't think it's really the advisor job to sit there and guide you. I think it's more like a really, like, I mean, like advice. Like, hey, like, thinking about taking these classes this year, do you like how do you feel about that? Or you know, in the terms of me graduating earlier or on time or this like that, I really feel like you should like take control of your own college degree and like the class you're going to take. And then it's like, hey, like, is this offered this semester? Is it offered? Like, I feel like you have to take control of that versus relying on them because, bro, they got thousands of students they doing this for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And a lot of them don't know because I mean, even your freshman seminar is BS, it's not you ain't really learning nothing, you going there to get an easy A,
exactly. So I think that's really the big thing though. Like in college, and I was very mature by the time I got to UNT too. Like I had done, you know, not going to class, failed a couple classes,
haven't we
partied? Yeah. So you know, I really kind of, I had really kind of got there, and at that point, it was like I was like, all right, bro. Like I had a plan when I came out here. I was like, I need to be graduated by this time. I need to be breaking by this time. And integrated studies really helped me. I like, in my personal opinion, I feel like if you know exactly what it is you want to do, like, I feel like go integrated studies because you can legit customize your schedule. But that's also a bad thing, too, because a lot of people do that just to skate by and they don't really learn anything meaningful. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, I ain't learned nothing in college and I paid all this money.
Integrative slash general studies. But I want to ask you before because I know you were interning. Were you interning before UNT or once you got there?
No, before UNT.
Okay. We're going to talk about that real quick. Yeah. But did y'all know while he was at UNT, he declined an offer to be part of the RDC team, man. Mark and them came up to him and was like, hey, yo, hey, we see you watch anime and stuff like that. You trying to be down with us? He told him no.
Man, no, I did. Oh, man. Nah, that's funny, though, because actually, I hooped with him a couple of times. He real, like, real life funny, bro.
I know.
Nah, he real life funny.
I was mad when, like, I found out my younger cousins, their apartment's, like, two doors down from them. I was like, so why you ain't tell us? You like, you know your cousins act just like them.
Yeah.
It's like, put us on. It's too late, though, but shout out to them.
Yeah,
I be laughing at them dudes. I don't even know about the AMP dudes. I just know the Casanet and Duke Dennis.
That's
AMP
them, yeah.
Yeah, I was just been laughing because they be like
beefing doing stuff.
Stupid stuff. Like,
nah, that's funny though.
See,
that's funny.
I wish I could be paid to be childish like they do. Like, I've been trying to do that for a long time. But let's talk about now. One of the things I tell people, like, I'm not one of the people that say anymore, you ain't got to go to school. Go to school. It really will work for you.
Yeah.
I do tell people a lot of times, I think the benefit of school that it can help you with is like, some people, if they don't go to school and they go straight into working, I don't think they built some of the social skills that you kind of get from having to navigate with different deep people in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that college really like excels you with. But one of the other benefits that you get from going to college that people don't utilize, like I told my little brother, I was like, he got an email from his professor. They were taking like 10 of them to GDIT to go tour the building.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, go. I was like, the moment you step foot on the college campus, you should be trying to get internships and everything.
Yeah, agreed.
I was like, a lot of people like me, I got bad advice. Hey, go to the career fair your junior year.
Yeah, no.
Right.
As soon as possible.
Right.
You want to start applying as soon as possible.
Yeah, so from the moment you took that class in community college that you really loved that got you in cyber, is that when you had your eyes on like, all right, I got to get an internship?
I got an intern next semester.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about that first internship. What was that like?
Nah, so my first internship was actually with Southwest.
I remember.
So, yeah. So, I was working with them, and it was kind of weird how I got that, actually. I was working in Geek Squad when I met the recruiter, and he brought his computer in. I fixed it. He was like, oh, like, you know, you look pretty young. How old are you? Like, you're in school, yeah. And he asked for my, he like, dad, I've got my resume. I'm like, yeah, I got one in the car, actually, and I gave it to him. And, yeah, I had an interview set up the next week, and and the crazy thing about it, like after the internship ended, I got reached out by a staffing agency, Tech Systems, to go back and go work like as a contractor. So like internship turned to like a contractor position. It was like a knock analyst though. It was really desktop supportive, I'm being honest. That's really what it
you
was.
You can always finesse that knock.
Yeah, they said knock analyst, but it was desktop support. But I was working like 24 hours, like I was working like 2 12-hour shifts, like Friday and Saturday, overnight, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And I think that was paying like $30-$35 an hour.
Hey, you
so I, yeah, so I was only working 24 hours a week, 2 days a week. I was good.
For my little, you know what I was getting for my little 20 hours in college?
Hey.
$7.25.
No, that's crazy. So throughout my entire time in college, I never had a minimum wage job. Like I was at least always making at least 25, like 25, 30 an hour. So like, you know, in college, you know, typically everybody kind of have, like, the struggling stories. I mean, I had it my freshman year. My freshman year, I was definitely struggling because I wasn't working. I was running track. But, like, after that, man, I was making, like, really good money. And I wasn't even having to break a lot either.
Big take, not the little one.
I mean, I definitely say start interning as soon as possible. Get a resume out and intern, for sure.
Right. And with y'all, it's now it's so much access to jobs and stuff like that. Y'all have no excuse.
LinkedIn.
No excuse.
And LinkedIn wasn't really popping like that
it
back
was not.
Then. Like, you know, now they got the LinkedIn influencers and stuff like that. But, like, back then, it was cool. It was definitely helpful. But now it's just like, shit. Like,
yeah. It's like that. Like, I know he get reached out to you probably like 5 times a day.
Bro, I can pull up my phone right now. I bet somebody probably reached out to me today and was like, hey, we got a job. Like, I actually had someone reach out to me like 2 weeks ago. Had a job, like a total company, like $600,000.
But I want to set that joint. I shared one that the other day on the post. It was like cloud security something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was around that same ballpark.
Yeah, I think this one was like for a blockchain security engineer or some shit like that.
That's cool, though. That you niching down on that. So
yeah, I'm definitely starting to niche down.
I want to actually talk about the internship that we met each other at. That, he probably ain't learned nothing because I know I ain't learned
didn't learn shit at the internship.
So listen. Well, this I don't even know if they really exist anymore because they merged with Trellix. But
oh, they did?
Yeah. Well, no. Matter of fact, McAfee and FireEye merged together and made Trellix. That's what it was.
McAfee who?
FireEye.
For real?
Yeah, remember Fire had like that breach or something that happened with them?
They did. They did.
Yeah, they got like an office in down there by the Star in Frisco.
Oh, dang. I know.
Hey, listen. Fun fact, when I accepted the offer for the gig I got now, mm-hmm. I was actually eating McAllister's in the old parking lot of mm-hmm. McAfee. It's a ghost town.
Oh, man. Like, I don't even remember that. All. Nah, yeah, dude. It was in Plano. Yeah,
Plano,
yeah.
Preston. Plano, Preston and Hedgecock.
Yeah. Yeah, Preston Road.
And
yeah,
it was, that was what, 2017, right? Late 2017? Because I started in March of 2017.
Yeah, it was 2017.
Because the next year,
That summer.
Yeah, the next month I got laid off and then you was back in school.
Yep. Yeah, I was still there though. I ended up leaving the internship because I got another internship with Baylor Scott and White.
Yeah.
So like,
I remember that.
Yeah. It was just like, bro, I'm not learning. Like, I'm not learning nothing here.
It's like, you know what's funny though? Shout out to Big Willie, man. Willie probably was the only one that was doing stuff. Bro, Willie was doing more work than me and I was on salary getting paid.
Oh, he was an intern. I forgot. Bro, Willie. They probably, the only reason why they was sitting around was because of Willie. Willie,
and it was somebody else that was came in with y'all at the same time.
I don't remember. I mean, it was somebody else, but I remember. Because I remember we had, like, our manager was, like, a sales guy.
Yeah. Are you talking about Alex? Yeah.
I thought it was Josh.
Yeah, Josh. Okay, I'm trying to see. So, Alex was the manager at first. The mm-hmm. guy, he was, like, big, tall, with a bob, wore a hat.
Yeah.
He was a manager first. Then Josh came in.
Yeah.
He was like security sales. Like,
yeah.
Man, that was a, listen, we could actually have a whole pod
yeah,
about
that's
how that
whole
was a, that was a
that.
Shit show. Like,
yeah. Like the Sim was a hot mess.
Trash, garbage. But, you know, companies still be using that. They'll reach out sometimes.
You know, like ESM, Mike
yeah, they, like, people still be using Nitro. Before I started working at Optiv, Atos was pretty much offered me because I knew how to use Nitro and some else because they were using all McAfee products.
Ugh.
Right. Not Sim was trash. The person who was the manager, neither one of them never ran in the SOC, never worked in a SOC before.
Yeah.
They spent all the money in the world to build a new SOC just to lay us off. They didn't give us any training on how to use their Sim. Or like what like
we that had was
no,
terrible, bro.
We had no use cases. I swear to God, the only thing we did, and he can vouch for this, was look for WannaCry. Once WannaCry popped,
bro, I was like, bro.
I was looking for his IPs. With the
WannaCry, like, yeah.
With the signatures and then send them to the networking team. That's all we did.
Bro, that was, and then that was, it was at one point. Weren't they trying to make it like a physical?
Wait, yeah, they brought the physical people in there.
Yeah.
Then they came in and saw some, first of all, then they brought Mr. Bill in from the FBI who didn't know what he was talking about at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
Talking about, we need to learn Python. I was like, bro, you don't even know what you're doing. They
like,
just
what are
you
using Python for?
Right. That's why, he moved away, but I wanted to get Ron on the podcast because Ron was who I wanted to be the manager.
Oh, yeah.
Ron knew his stuff. Yeah. Ron was like, you know, Ron and all them was contractors. Him and the two other white guys. Can I think their name was?
I couldn't tell.
Daniel and some else. I think that was their names.
I can't remember. Because I know one of them went to, he went to another, because I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we're going to say, but all them was contractors. And there's a period of time when, you know, they want them to come over full time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Ron was, you know, doing his negotiations and stuff like that. He walked into work one day, and Bill told him, "You're welcome." And Ron came in there. Ron was like, "I almost lost my job."
That work culture was definitely toxic, and it was, I couldn't work there.
I used to go to the Stonebriar and stuff on the weekends when I had to work on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Go to Stonebriar and walk around. So when like,
like bro, it was nothing. Like we were just being in a room, just like sitting there. Like I didn't learn nothing,
bro. I learned everything what not to do.
Nah, for sure.
Only reason I learned some stuff was from Run. Run was like, "All right, look, this is what you need to do. I'm gonna show you how to do this." Because Tex didn't know nothing. I used to say, "Tex, do you know what to do?" He would say, "No," but he wouldn't speak up. I was like, "I don't know why you know what they mean."
Bro, I would just come in. I was like. As an intern, I'm like, "Hey, so what do I do?" Like, it was legit. And I'll work with Willie. I'm like, "Hey, like, you know, what you, I want to hear, you know, I was learning from fucking Willie. I was learning from that intern."
Right. Aniba would show us nothing. Like, we learned a little bit. Like, see, now Kelly, that dude, he did the forensics and investigations. So
they had a forensic lab.
So he actually had stuff he was working on. So we tried to figure out what he was doing. His real name was James Brown. That's the funny thing. White dude named James Brown.
Oh, man.
But now that's funny. But then you went on to have two internships after that, right?
Yeah. I went to Baylor Scott and White.
So you did Baylor Scott and White during the school year, then you did Cisco after that.
And then it's Cisco after that, and then I got my full-time job.
I don't know if you want to, at a high level, if you want to talk about...
My Cisco?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, I was working with racist interns. It was so, like, it was so crazy. So, this is another girl named Michelle. She's a privacy engineer at Amazon now. We worked at Robinhood with each other, and now she was at Google before that. But, like, her parents, her people, like, all of them have, like, high degrees, like doctorates and stuff like that. And you know, we were just kind of going around, hey, like, what are your parents doing? And in my head, I'm like, why are we even asking this stuff, like, about what our parents get? They'll ask me, like, how you get this internship? I'm like, the same way you got this internship. Or maybe not. Maybe y'all had a connection. I did. But I was kind of going around, like, asking, like, what our parents did and stuff like that. And it got to her. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, my family, like, they got their doctor. I forgot. I think her mom's lawyer. I don't know, Wizick, but they got their doctor's degree. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, that was like, wait, like, did she actually got a doctor's degree? I was like, yeah, she got a doctor's degree. And I was like, oh, wow, like, I didn't really think people, like, I was like, what? yo, dog. And it was like, I don't remember exactly. They said some other racist, like, bro, it was like, what the So we ended up, she went to HR and told, and, yeah, it's like, I got listed as, like, you know, witnessing to it and stuff like that. But, yeah, from what I seen, nothing happened to
I
him.
Bet it didn't, because
yeah.
The other thing is what I found out about Cisco throughout the years, like, they don't pay what they're supposed to.
No, they don't at all.
They do it as if, like, you're supposed to be happy you working for Cisco.
Yeah, and so that was the thing. So I didn't get a return offer from that internship or whatever, because I stopped coming, like, to the internship. Like, we was in Richardson. We didn't have, like, nobody in the office. It was literally just, like, a bunch of interns in the room. So I would just stay home and work from home, like, because we typically get partner up with somebody. And, like, I was installing, like, Cisco ICE and, like, the firewalls and stuff like that. So, I was actually going out to clients. I ended up going, like, to Best Buy or whatever in Minnesota, I think, or some shit, to kind of help them install that.
That was Minnesota.
Yeah. So
I'm saying, how was it?
I wouldn't go back.
You would?
No, I mean... That's cold. I don't like the cold.
Oh, you went during the cold.
No, it was during the summer. But I'm just saying, like, yeah. Milwaukee is.
Because Target out there, so that's why I said it.
Yeah, so I had a job offer from Target, too. Target actually played pretty nice, but they wanted me to move.
But they was remote at the time when I was talking to them.
Nah, they wanted me to move.
They put the roles on hold.
Nah, they wanted me to move.
Yeah, I couldn't move to Minnesota.
No, not at all. But, yeah, so, like, and I wasn't learning nothing. I did get my CCNA and all that while I was there. So I did get that. And I got my CCNA Cyber Ops or some like the.
I know what you're talking about. It's like the guy that used to work with me at Income at the NOC, he was talking about the Cyber Ops thing.
Yeah, it was trash. But Cisco, I would never work with Cisco. Well, you know what? Let me not say never, just in case they may up the pay. But no, like a year after that, they ended up offering me a job. And I was just like, nah, I'm good. Like, the money wasn't even worth it. It was like, I think the offer was like 105. It wasn't even more than I was getting paid. Like, yeah. And they don't want to give you, like, no sign-on bonus. I mean, they give you one, but it ain't, like, 10, 15, maybe 15, maybe 15, but, like, $10,000. It wasn't nothing crazy. But, Cisco is not just, like, a huge name for me. Like, it's not like I'm a network engineer.
They don't have the same buzz they used to have.
Yeah, nah.
It's like Cisco, Palo Alto is what Cisco think they are.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I definitely agree
Palo
with that.
Is what they is. It shoot even Checkpoint better than Cisco down to me.
Yeah.
Like, pay-wise.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of, like, even like the FANG companies now, like the FANG companies are, they're still the FANG companies, but like as far as pay, they're not paying with like the late stage startups and all that. Like everybody want to go to the FANG companies now, but it's like, now you need to start going to like the Squares and
the Open Eyes, the Stripes
and stuff like that. Those are becoming the new standard of FANG when it comes to
But you
to
know
pay.
What happened, though? And you know this because we're going to talk about this probably in a second.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, the influx of everybody being remote and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All the FANG companies just kept on hiring people so they could take the talent. And a lot of them weren't doing nothing. So oversaturated the market. That's why a lot of these people got laid off. A lot of people was not doing work.
Yeah.
If we want to be honest, I got documents and articles that prove that a lot of people was not doing work.
Yeah.
And they was getting paid a lot.
Yeah.
And that brings no value to the company. So all them sob stories that some people on there be lying about, they just looked, a lot of people just looked up. I can't say they didn't deserve them, but I'm going to say it. They ain't deserve the roles.
Yeah. It definitely was. Because I know, Man, because, like, during a pandemic, bro, and then that was letting you, like, leave California and stuff. And that was still, well, some company was still paying you, like, on a New York and the, like, yeah. San Francisco. Like, bro, like, man, money was good. Money yeah. was good. Like, it was like, oh, you got it. Okay, here, cool. Here's the offer. Like, it was so easy to get a job during that time. Like, if you was, like, even just somewhat good at it, it was like, you could have got a nice job.
Yeah. But. Let's talk about briefly. Okay, so you got your first full-time offer. Well, you started your first full-time job at Optiv, mm-hmm. where we were working together. Mm-hmm. And you still were in school. And then at the time, I was actually finishing up grad school. Mm-hmm. And now I remember you had – I'm trying to see if I had already said I was working there. You called me up. It was like, yo, hey, yeah. what you think about Optiv? I was like, I like it so far.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I interviewed, like, six different teams. Because, like, they hit me up, like – A year before, they hit me back up, and they were trying to get me to come work over there. And I was like, oh, like, I'm going to somebody, like, my last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, you know, whenever I'm finished this internship, like, can y'all contact me around this time? In my head, I'm like, they're not going to hit me back up. Bro, August came. I kid you not. August came. They hit me up. I was like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, we still, are you still interested in Optiv? I was like, yeah, what's up? So I interviewed, bro, I think I had like maybe 10 interviews because it was like I interviewed with like all the teams. And I think it was like the pen test team, with like a consultant role, a cloud consultant. it was like forensics and it was like something else. And like, so I was pinning them all against each other to negotiate my salary. And the crazy thing about it, I really wanted to go like do the pen test, mm-hmm. but they wasn't paying that much money. Yeah. And so, and I was trying to get them, like, you know, leverage that. It was, like, the digital forensic team, they was, that was actually paying a decent amount of money, but they wanted me to move to Denver, I think, or yeah, something like that. Yeah,
the headquarters was in Denver.
Yeah, they wanted me to move to Denver, and I was like, I ain't moving to Denver. And so, the next one was the one, you know, with Ashley and all of them. And so, I was like, hey, can you match this offer? And she matched it. I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah. And I started it.
That's because the Fusion Center, they had that bread with the contract. Yeah. That's probably one of their biggest money
makers. Yeah, Disney.
They still got that contract now.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's because I was just on a cruise and I saw like the Disney Wish. I was like, damn, that's crazy. I used to actually monitor this ship and all the systems and stuff. That was dope.
You know what's funny? What I thought about was when I was in Burbank.
I was so mad. I wanted to go to Burbank, bro.
But I'm laughing when I went to Burbank because that's the time you and Richard got into it in the WhatsApp.
What happened?
Man, Richard said something to you about, like, in so many terms, where you at, boy? Like, that type of tone. And you was like, man, I ain't got to tell you shit or something. Oh. I remember that.
Yo, nah. Okay, so that's one thing about me going into the corporate world, bro. I was always, like, on one. Like, it was like, bro, I don't know.
But that, no, but Richard started, though. He didn't.
Yeah.
He just was picking.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you, so... You was long gone.
Yeah.
Like I said, we eventually did. The people who you would always think would mess up ended up messing up in the long run.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, he wasn't a person I ever thought would mess up, but he done do good well under pressure. Mm-hmm. He was one of the people, man. Like, sometimes he couldn't even respond. Like, if he messed up on something, he'd be scared. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, if you don't just tell this person this. So I didn't really, I didn't like when he would, like, do that, but.
Yeah, nah, man. Yeah, that's one thing about me. I had to learn how to, like, go off on people professional, though.
I think you was, matter of fact, you left right before we went to the Frisco office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I left, like, 2 months. Because, actually, I think they was in the process of moving when I left. Because I remember I went in the office. I actually go work back for Ashley, though. Ashley was, like, one of the best managers. Like, she was definitely top three managers. Top two.
That's facts. Hey, shout out to Ashley. Yeah. She is at CrowdStrike now.
So. Oh, she is?
She a director at CrowdStrike. Mm. Ashley, complete.
Yeah. Man, we still on LinkedIn with each other. But now, Ashley was, like, dope. And when I came in, I told her, I was like, you know, I'm leaving. She's like, I'm actually surprised, like, you didn't leave earlier. She, like, the work distance seemed like it was interesting. I was like, nah, it was cool. It's like, I was doing this in my internships. Mm-hmm. So, it was like, because I wanted to go, like, as a Splunk engineer. Like, I was trying, I forgot his name.
John?
Yeah, the black guy.
Splunk engineer?
Yeah.
That was doing Splunk with us?
Nah, he wasn't Splunk. No, it was John.
Yeah,
John. It was John. Like, John,
the GOAT.
Yeah, nah, you know, I would kind of shadow him and talk with him and stuff like that, because, like, I really wanted to go on the engineer side of things. But obviously somebody had to leave or something happened because we didn't really have, like, open slot. Yeah. And I wasn't trying to wait to get promoted or anything like that. And, yeah, But yeah, I ended up leaving after like being there for 8 months.
Yeah.
And that's when I went to consulting with Booz Allen Hamilton. Best experience I ever had in my life. Kid you not.
The crazy thing is, the funny thing is, like, right before the pandemic started, I actually was trying to move over to the consulting side of Optiv. Because, John, I had so.
I got a friend right now that he's on it. He's like on the pen testing side.
Really?
Yeah.
SplunkConf and whichever one it was, 2019, the first one I went to, John and everybody was there. So, John had plugged me in with the consulting people and stuff like that. And so, I was going to try to move over there, but then, you know, 2020 happened. Yeah. So, I was like, that was dead.
Yeah, man. Traveling and stuff.
But yeah, man, I want to touch on Ashley real quick because, like I said, like Ashley probably like top two and it's not two for me.
Yeah, nah, she definitely one of the best managers I had.
I knew Ashley was going to be good because the night, I used to work night shift, so Ashley was there at night.
I used to work the night sometimes too.
Did you?
Or did like, it switched.
Or when you switched?
Yeah, it switched. Yeah.
I see, I started when we first started the contract, June 1st, I was doing nights and it worked out for me because all my classes were like at night in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley was listening to that Drake Scorpion when I came in. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
She's going to be solid. Nah, so.
Never mind. But yeah, Ashley, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, he left us guys for greener pastures and went to Booz Allen. But, you know, I think I remember you talking about, like, one of my questions. I didn't even look at my questions in a while, but one of my questions was, did they hold your hand when you was a consultant? Or they was like,
hell no.
Go figure it out.
Man, I still remember, bro. I ain't getting no, they, bro. It was kind of good, but it was like, bro, they threw me in there with the wolves, bro. So when I came in there, I was supposed to be doing incident response or whatever. And so when I went in there, bro, they got me doing Splunk architecting and engineering. I'm like, bro, when it comes to Splunk, I barely can search a Splunk, and y'all got me trying to architect this stuff, bro. I took training like I would be in the hotels, just like reading up on all this. Doing this, bro, I think I probably learned everything as like a Splunk admin in a week of just like the fundamentals of Splunk, like just learning it, learning how to like search through the administration, all of that. And yeah, bro, it was, I got thrown in fire, bro, but it helped me though. Like, I feel like in consulting though, you definitely got to be like a go-getter. You can't be someone that's waiting on somebody to tell you what to do, because it's so political too. Like, I think now I would navigate probably fine in there because I got a little bit more experience, but you got to think about it. Like, I only had realistically like 8 months of experience, like in corporate, like, you know, real corporate America, before going to consulting, and it's so political, bro. Like, it's all about who you know. I had a good career manager too, so that was pretty good. He was, you know, he guided me and stuff like that, but yeah, bro, it's political.
Yeah,
I think it's super political.
That reminds me, like, Goldman Sachs, like, the best advice I got was from Frank, and he was like, be visible.
Yeah, that's, bro, that is it. Be visible. Communicating, talking to people. Like, that's literally what it is. You want to make sure, because the thing about it is, like, when it comes to, like, layoffs and stuff like that, or getting the best contract, because the thing is, what people don't know about consulting, you have what's called a bench. And the bench is basically, like, you're not billable right now. And so, like, with Booz Allen, I think if you're on a bench for more than, like, 2 weeks, I think, or a month, because the thing is, they give you, like, 40 hours for training. So, like, whenever you're on the bench, you don't want to be on the bench. You want to, like, all right, I'm going to use this for training. But, like, when you're just on the bench, you're not doing anything. It's, like, we're not making any money off you. So, if you're on here for too long, you don't get fired. I forgot exactly what they call it. It's like a
PIP
or LOW or something like that. Lack of work. They hit you with but it's basically like you finna get fired. And so the way you would like kind of stay from being off the bench, like whenever you're not on the contract or on the gig, you're probably finding like internal work. Like there may be like work that needs to be done internally for Booz Allen, and you were kind of working there and stuff like that. But I stayed on the contract for SAP like a year. Like they kept requesting me to come back. So I built that Cyber Fusion Center. I built out their incident response program. I built out their vulnerability management program. I helped re-architect their Splunk instance. Bro, I did some of my best work at SAP, and then I went to like Verizon Media, which was like Yahoo or something. And
Yahoo fired, man. I want that for Yahoo.
Yeah, nah, they actually reached out to me a couple of times. I heard they security team pretty dope.
The Paranoids is fire.
Yeah, that's called Paranoids. So they reached out to me a couple of times. I was like, eh, I'm not gonna.
One of their directors was actually at Optiv right when I was coming in.
Uh huh. Oh, man, that's dope.
And he got a podcast and everything. Like, I don't know. We ain't got time to talk about it. We talk about that later.
Yeah.
But what I want to tell everybody is, so all them things he named are achievements. And when I'm doing y'all resumes, I always say, what are things you achieved at your job? He don't have to, and based on what job he applying to, he can decide what achievements he want to put down.
Yeah.
And that's how you get a call back. Nobody want to say
job descriptions.
Thank you. Yeah. I came into work. Oh, every day I looked in the sim. I did it. Okay. But what did you do?
Did that. Like, what did you triage? Like, what did you, like, how did you help reduce the tickets? Like, how did you help? Like, yeah.
Like, I don't even care if all you did, you went through and you fixed all the documentation and you fixed the use cases. Do you know how many places got some trash use cases and
trash documentation? And I think that's what people really don't like when it comes to documentation, like in security. Documentation is like, bro, like I just, cause I was saying like the data pipeline, bro, I just wrote so much documentation. Like, all right, how do we change the configuration? How does it operate? What does the architecture look like? You know, we want to make a config change. Like what, you know, what about errors that may come across? How you troubleshoot that? How you, like, documentation is very, very, very important. And in a security, especially as an engineer role, documentation is probably 20% of what you're doing if you're actually engineering stuff.
Facts. Not only that, like, I talked to one of my guys. He actually still an opto. He was like, bro, like, your name's still on, like, a lot of his company stuff. I was like, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, I should, like, if I ever want to come back, I shouldn't have to interview. Like, just go look at my work.
Nah, for real.
But also, what you just said about documentation reminds me about what we know about pen testing. Everybody think Mr. Robot shooting up bang bang. Now realizing like the real part they care about is that report.
Yeah.
That big write up that people don't like to do.
Yeah.
That you gotta get them because they paying you a lot of money for that.
And I wrote a pen test. Oh, I forgot I interned at Celanese too. I forgot about that. So I like person. And I actually did a pen test with them. They had so their security team was like the pen test team, the security engineer. Like it was like all in one thing. And so I actually went on a couple of pen tests with them, and like the report was like crazy long. I think I still remember I helped write like a 50-page report. So yeah,
crazy thing is I actually want to do a physical pen test.
I don't know, like I wouldn't mind doing one for sure, but like, I definitely think I want to kind of go towards like red team.
Like I want to do one of the ones like social engineering where I'm acting like I work there.
Oh yeah, no, that's
like,
dope. Yeah,
I make a fake like Verizon badge and say, oh yeah, or I gotta come install this. Like, I wanna do something like that.
I wouldn't mind doing it too. You gotta go to like a smaller security consulting company, kind of get into stuff like that though.
It's so many, like, when you just sit down and watch people, it's like so many things you see and flaws you can exploit.
Yeah.
With people all day.
People's like, the weakest link.
I know I can go through here and do this damage. Like
people get on the internet and tweet out their passwords all the time and don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, they do. But I was going to ask you about...
I thought we were supposed to be taking a shot.
We are. I'm going to get on that. I'm going to get on that in a second. I'm going to let you actually talk about... So, well, remember in the beginning, guys, I told you, like, he was one of the first people to be doing Twitter. He was. I remember back at Optiv, you was on Twitter.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, all this tech stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, he was already there. So, I could never say, like, you got on the wave like everybody else did. Like, you had been there. Like, I had a Twitter since 2011, but I was on there talking about BS. Or at the time, he was talking about tech. I was talking about boxing. And
Bunko boxing? Yo, was it Bunko? Yeah.
Hey, listen, everybody know. Shout out to Mikey Rocks. That's where I got that from. My little girl, I got her singing one of his songs called Perfect. Because one of my intros used to be this song, Perfect. Uh-huh. But he used to be talking about that all the time. So that's how, like, kind of, I won't say your claim to fame, but people's like, oh, that's Tay on tech.
Man, that's
like,
kind of what it was.
He used to have his own website. Like, all the stuff that that I do now for business-wise or how I'm helping clients about, he was doing it already. So I'm letting y'all know that now. Like, that's like no cap. But what made you want to already just try to brand yourself?
I don't know, bro. So to be quite honest with you, like, I had no aspirations to like want to do that. I was just sharing my journey, to be honest with you. And like over time, it was just like, dang, like, you know, like, let me, it just kind of like happened. Like, as I was like, okay, like, people's always hit me up asking for advice. So, all right, let me do consultation. So I started doing consultation stuff like that. But then after a while, I just kind of like, once I felt like my brand was kind of big enough, like, I rebranded to where now it's like, I still talk about like career advice and stuff like that. But like, career advice is so repetitive. It gets repetitive at times. It's like, I'm getting tired of telling y'all to do the same exact thing. And so I still do that, but I also kind of like prefer now like tech reviews, because like I've always been into like technology. Like I always like, you know, taking stuff apart, like reviewing phones. Like that's really like my passion, like doing stuff like that. And so I was just like, you know, Tay on Tech. That's actually how I got the name. Like Tay on Tech was like more so like the technical reviews, like, you know, Tay is reviewing the tech. So that's really how the Tay on Tech name came about. And yeah, it was actually nothing to do with cybersecurity, nothing like that. It was supposed to be tech reviews only, but it was so hard to make that transition because everybody knew me from like career advice and finance and all that stuff like that. And so I was like, all right, I'm tired of trying to do it. And then like my brand kind of got big enough. I'm like, you know what? Either y'all gonna rock with me or y'all not gonna rock with me. So they started rocking with the tech reviews and stuff like that, you know, whenever I do them. But still the career advice stuff still outshines. And it's just like, it's so hard for me to just like completely leave the career advice alone, because like it still helped fuels my other stuff.
Yeah. Because so, you know what's funny? That one of the chicks reached out on your thing. Was like, do you do consoles? And I didn't want to go on your thread and say,
nah, you could have.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I hit her up. Like, we follow each other. So I was like, I saw you on this post. Like, I do consoles. You can hit the link. She didn't say nothing. But I was just like, because I did that on one of your friends' Instagrams one time. Mm-hmm. Not really trying to do it. I just did it like, hey, like, he asked me, like, you know how we got tired of saying generic questions? So he asked me something. I was like, oh, well, shoot, bro, you know you could ask me. I just hit the link in my bio, and then I'll tell you who it is off camera. But it's like, hey, don't sell your stuff on my post. I was like, man, my bad. I really wasn't trying to. I was just like,
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm tired of telling people the same thing. Yeah, like just click the link in my bio. It's like, you know,
yeah.
I didn't take offense to it. It wasn't nothing to me.
Yeah, no.
But what you were talking about with the tech reviews is what you would have been in on, but you was too, you know, you was living your best life when we had the tech meetup, 2 weeks ago. But
wait, what tech? I think I was in Bahamas or something like that.
See? Yeah. Best life. But that was one of the things we're talking about. So it was me, Damien, and Lise, and we was talking about back in the days, like all the Android phones. And I was saying how in 2010 I used to watch like Phone Dog and all these other channels. I was like, I used to want to review phones.
Yeah, because it was definitely Android. It was Android. Yeah.
I used to have like all the phones, like all like the stuff the
Pixel.
MKBHD,
yeah.
Yeah, like all that stuff. Like I was on that like back then, but I didn't know.
Like this tech tips, all them.
But that's why I was telling you even before this. Like people did enjoy like the couple of episodes Eric and I did where we took like articles or real stuff we seen on Twitter and we just talking about it. But I do mine in a sense like I'm a Joe Budden podcast fan. So I was like,
yeah, like I like Joe Budden.
Right. Podcast. I was like, I'm gonna be the pod. Like this also like the side, like, you know, Joe do his interviews, but people come weekly. He's like, man, let's see. Did you hear about that breach or this all this other, this tech that came out? So merging that is, like, pretty cool.
I wanted to do that, bro, but I don't think I just got, like, the work ethic because I got so much other stuff I'm doing right now.
I congratulate you, bro. Time, man, they be like,
your work ethic crazy.
It's like, how do you pod? How do you have your clients? And I was like, I just get it in, bro.
Even with your boxing channel, bro, you was always consistent. Like, that's one thing I can say about, bro. You consistent as hell when it comes to that. Like, that,
this actually helped me be more consistent because I love boxing. But for one, it's a niche sport. And I had to keep on upping the ante to even really talk about stuff people ain't care about.
Yeah.
Versus in 2020, like, it's like, you know what? I'm going to pivot and talk about stuff I've been talking about. Like, I've been helping people.
Yeah.
And I got content for days. I can talk about being laid off. I can talk about job offers. I can talk about this and that. I can talk about managers yelling at me. I can talk about, like, a whole bunch of stuff and people want to hear because
it's relevant.
Right. When you was coming up, I was coming up, whoever was coming up before us.
Because I used to always talk with you and Pat about certain stuff. I mean, y'all was a little bit older than me. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, asking questions and doing all this and stuff like that. So it was definitely like dope that I had y'all to kind of like lean on, ask certain questions.
Speaking
when it came
of,
to that.
We might need that episode, me, with you, Pat. And Pat for McAfee.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
That was Optiv.
Optiv and McAfee.
He was at McAfee. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Cause I remember you telling me, like, yeah, you know, Pat. Yeah. Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
But,
damn. Where Pat at now?
He's at, what they say on Confidential.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let me get this real quick for you. I want to switch paths because I know you actually did something after Booze, but I want to jump right into you getting into doing more first of all, moving to the finance space and then doing insider threat. And I kind of want you to tell the listeners and the audience what's insider threat about, because we see it all the time.
Yeah, no. So insider threat, a lot of different companies paint insider threat different, but at the end of the day, it's because the thing about, because insider threat is basically threat detection at the end of the day, but it's more so like, instead of protecting like the company from like outsiders, you're protecting the company from like the insiders. Because you got to think about it, your employees are probably, they have access to all of this important data every day. And they may or may not purposely be trying to exfiltrate data. They may unwillingly or unknowingly know what they're doing and exfiltrating the data. So basically, I put in security controls to make sure that our employees are not stealing data. So whenever you guys are like doing stuff on your computers, we know everything you're doing. We know every website you're visiting. We know everything you're clicking and downloading. Like, we legit know everything. Now, are we looking specific at this one person saying, hey, he's doing this? It depends. And, you know, I know at one company we had, I created this list, which like everybody that recently put in a 2 weeks notice list of everybody. And, you know, whenever it's like a certain threshold of like, they emailing a lot of data to themselves.
Yeah, doing something within like termination data.
Yeah, it's like, you send a lot of emails to yourself. And I had created this threat detection to where like it looks for when you send yourself like to your personal email, and like it looks for like three consecutive letters compared to like your work email, compared over to your personal email, and we get an alert like, hey, this person potentially sending themselves to their email. So I look at it, I'm like, this is data from that. So whenever we see that, we see all the documents that they send. It's like, oh, okay, this is family pictures, or it's this, it's that. It's like, oh, it's nothing really, you know, crazy. But it's like, oh, this is work data. We'll literally, we'll contact their managers. Hey, we need you to delete all this on your computer and empty out your recycle bin. So it was really like that. So,
did you build a custom detection, or did y'all also have a tool?
So we use DTEX too. So DTEX is like inside. I'm not going to say it's probably fairly new. It's like probably like 6-7 years. It's, I don't know. But it's kind of fairly, but it's specific for like insider threat. But I know now what I'm kind of doing, I'm doing threat detection, but I'm also kind of like starting to go like in the insider threat portion of like our customer application. So like I'm having to work with like a lot of Kubernetes, ECS clusters.
All these words mean it's big money.
Yeah, like, you know, really, it's really like DevOps, Sec DevOps. That's kind of what I'm trying to pivot into. And so, like, say for instance, like, you know, one of our engineers probably going into like one of our customer databases, and they're probably doing something they're not supposed to be doing. So I'm really more so, I'm not building insider threat for like corporate, but more so for our applications. Yeah. And it's way, way harder, bro. Yeah. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah. I was, so we use like Semantic for like our DLP solution. So we kind of have a lot of that stuff built into it. But there are things when I noticed immediately say, hey, we could, you know, use this with XOR and Splunk with our, and then use like more RBA type stuff to actually make this a little bit more efficient.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool though. I guess we go inside threat. Cause like inside threat on the corporate level is pretty easy. Like, stopping you from stealing documents and stuff like that's just
that's
easy.
One way, but then you gotta look at, you know, it can get, because this also a term. So, and you can, and you know, I know you do this for sure because it's probably your job description, but you being engineering. But it's a term I told y'all about that's getting pretty popular: threat modeling.
Yeah, I'm literally doing this right now for a Vault instance. So if you guys don't know what Vault is, HashiCorp Vault is basically like secrets management. So, you know, whenever you're using like API keys, or are you trying to get secrets to authenticate to servers and things like that, you essentially authenticate into a vault, which holds all our secrets. You get the secret to do that. So I'm threat modeling right now to build threat detections and all of that, build the dashboard and all that. But I'm literally, like, they just re-architect the entire vault instance. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing too, is like, and I know you know this from doing consultations. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest issues I think that we're seeing with some people that want to get into the industry, they don't do no research.
They don't.
They don't understand the jobs that they want to do.
They don't.
So it's like, I can help you only so much, but you got to go do the extra initiative. Like,
that's kind of why I stopped doing consultation, because it was the same thing. And it was like, bro, half the shit you can Google. Like, I love when somebody asks me a really good question. Like, when somebody asks me a really good question, I'm like,
you did your homework.
I don't mind helping. Like I actually sit, take my time, because, like, you know what to look for. It's like, oh, like, how can I get into cybersecurity? I'm not answering that question. Like, if you go on some of my posts and stuff like that, like, oh, like, what certification should I get for cybersecurity? I'm not answering that. That's a Google. That's a Google search.
Bro, old dude, that freaking tagged me, Aiken.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Bro, why is he asking us this? Or he was like, he was acting like we was his personal help desk one time.
Now, I don't know. Like, sometimes I don't mind it, but it's like, bro, at a certain point, in some of these questions, bro, you...
They in my bio, bro. I got a whole free YouTube video with a slide you can download. I got a free ebook. Fill the form out, you get the free ebook.
Bro, So when you ask me questions like that, I know they're not serious about it, and I waste my time.
Yeah. So, but and that's the whole reason why I, from the gate, I started charging.
Yeah, not honestly, and I was trying to be but I should have. But even now, though, it's like I'm getting to the point now because, like, I'm more so content driven now. I don't mind doing it on the content side of things because, like, man, TikTok, paying.
That's what I was going, like, he also big on TikTok. Like, see, the thing with me, and the only difference is I don't really make TikTok content.
Clip up these.
No, I do clip. What I'm saying is, like, click TikTok, like, a certain way. Sometimes, like, the content, whether you do it in the app or.
It does. Because I was testing that out. It's like, you know, I was always, like, recording through my camera and uploading. It wouldn't do as good.
Yeah.
But if you record in the app.
Or use CapCut.
Yeah, it does amazing. But even then, like, after you build it up and you know so much, the algorithm, starts working with you. It takes a little minute, but it
and,
does.
What you can also do is, I've seen some, you know, the gurus, TikTok gurus will tell you about going live with your post stuff and they'll help boost it.
Yeah, it does. I know. That's why I've been going live now.
But
yeah.
I have figured out. The sweet spot of, like, finding out how to, like, get people to find my videos by searching, I just type a lot of search terms for SEO in my description.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what you got to do is the SEO at that point.
And I'm throwing them tags in there. But that's what I'm really good at on YouTube. Like, I do a lot of
you
did.
Because you put me on TubeBuddy and all that.
I don't even use TubeBuddy no more.
Oh, what did you know? VIQ?
Nothing. So with my process, I use Buzzsprout for my audio portion of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Buzzsprout has a tool called Co-host AI. It's fire. Uh-huh. If you seen my last couple descriptions, Buzzsprout did all that.
Oh, damn.
And so I'll use that to make it SEO driven so people can find it on the web. And then also it'll do the chapters for me. It has blog posts it makes from it and everything.
Oh, like, damn. You're going to see me just after this.
I use Opus Clips to do all this stuff.
You said what?
Opus Clips. I just take the YouTube link, throw it in there, and it give me like 10, 15 clips. And
yeah,
I
bro,
choose
text
what I
that
want.
To me. Text that to me.
I got you. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much trying to keep up with all this content, man.
Man, I don't think people realize how much work it is, bro. Like, these last 2.5 months creating content. Like, it feels so good not to have to, but it's like, dang, I got so much content to, like, release.
Yeah, you probably got a lot of brand deals, too.
Bro, I actually got to send a script off to one of them right now, like, Autonomous.
Dude, I want one of their discs. I got one of their chairs.
They sent me one.
L-Shake?
Yeah. No, so they asked me which one I wanted, but I just got, like, a regular desk because I'm going to have two desks set up. So I'm going to have one for... my gaming station and, like, my MacBook station. So, yeah, I can look you up. Because I think Joe uplift that, too. How'd it go?
Kind of was like, you know, we ain't doing that right now. But what I found out, too.
I can link you up with Autonomous.
What I found out about branding now is a lot of the companies have been sleeping on a little bit of people got, like, a LinkedIn brand and YouTube brand.
Yeah.
But now, slowly but surely, they've been, like, reaching out to me, like, different things. So, it's like, I'm not tripping. A lot of them have been late to get on podcasts and YouTube. But
yeah. No, Coursera been fucking with me, man. I
got to do my Google video soon.
Yeah. Hold on. What they give you?
It's not a lot. It's more than they. They played itself. I know you got more than me. They weren't willing to budge much on me.
Did you at least get four figures?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I know why, though. Because I did an ad for them. And I did trial and error with the podcast. I did a mid-roll. It should have been pre-roll.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, no. So,
Following what they're looking for is a little bit.
But it's a YouTube video, though.
Yeah, but if they work with you in the past or something, or whatever them links you've been sharing, they probably like your.
Yeah, it's definitely been.
I didn't really post my link and stuff, but it don't matter. It don't.
They even owe my commission.
You know, I do a lot of affiliate stuff now, so I've been I've been going hard with Level Careers.
The money, bro, like, bro, I've made like mid five figures from like affiliation with Coursera, That's fine. So I'm doing 2 YouTube videos for now for like it's 4 figures.
That's
fine. Yeah, it's decent.
This one is like right under 4. But
yeah. It's one video though, right?
Yeah, it's decent, it's gonna be easy. I ain't gotta make them all. I'm gonna send it to my guy. I'm gonna let him edit it, even though he may be mad when he wants to quit the email list.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let him do it.
Yeah. Let me see. But yeah, no, man. That's kinda like when I really started seeing these brands appear, like even like my Microsoft deal that I got. And Microsoft they actually came back to me. They want me to do another deal with them. So that's dope.
I'm gonna plug you with Broadus.
Who?
Level Up in Tech.
Yeah, let me know then. Yeah,
he rocked with me, and then he's already see your following and what you was already talking about. Boom, he's solid.
Yeah, no, let me know because I've been like and even Samsung, like because I've been trying to get like a lot of like because I know like a lot of careerists, whatever.
Be on that bull, they be reaching out to me, but
yeah, they reach out to me so much. Like I try to refrain from working with so many because at that point it's like I want to be kind of loyal to like one brand when it comes to like affiliate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want to be and I feel like Coursera is like. You know.
Course Careers and Level been real good.
Course Careers is really good. I'm with Course Careers too, but I don't really talk about them as much.
I talk about Level. Well, they, you know, like on my post, I stole a little bit of what Cyrus do. I just say, hey, go to these links.
Yeah.
But Level, people like Josh Matacor, so his courses always do good. They go click on my link and get
them. I'm going to go to, I don't think I ever just really looked into them. I have Course Careers in my.
I can plug you.
Yeah, no, that'd be dope. That'd be dope.
Guys, I forgot to tell y'all, it's episode 100, right? So I had told him. I don't know, was it like months ago or something? I said we're going to do episode 100 or something.
You did, yeah.
And we got a shot right here. This is of Martell. This is way better than Hennessy. So look, if y'all listening right now, you got a shot you want to pour, put a shot up. Y'all watching, pause it. Go get your shot of your choice. It ain't got to be liquor. You can go get you some juice.
Go get some water.
This is the episode 100, and we're going to keep on going.
Mm-hmm. That's smooth. Hey, look, you gave him out. You should have told him hit me up for a brand deal.
Hey, Martell, reach out to
me. Hey, no, ain't no free promo. No, just playing.
Hey, no, for real. Look, my analytics on YouTube is ages 25 to 34. They going to rock with that, Martell.
Oh, yeah.
But what I want to actually ask you real quick is, we ain't ask you the money question.
Oh.
Listen, if y'all know who he is, he flashy. People be on TikTok trying to see who he talked to in his real life. Like, he a real celebrity.
I'm chilling.
He's a real celebrity. I really had some. Listen, if we could be like Brandon Marshall and say, oh, it's time to get messy. If I had more time, we get real messy on here for the stuff I'll ask them.
I mean,
it's like Patreon
back.
Level.
I mean, we can come back for a second.
We could. We definitely got some more to come in.
We can probably mess around and record in my crib whenever I get everything set up.
Say less, you know, I'm down. But I did want to ask, seriously though, the money question. And the reason why I want to ask you that is because we hear, and you also are an entrepreneur as well, but we always hear from the entrepreneurs how they try to down people who work regular jobs, not knowing it's people like you and people on the boards and all these companies that make more than entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I want to talk to you about is, like, why it's important to niche and be very good. And, like, y'all saw all the things that he's able to go in interviews and say, I did all this stuff. When you can say that, 9 times out of 10, the job is pretty much yours.
Nah, like my interviews are no longer interviews. It's like conversations of like, oh, like how do you do that? Like, I mean, I can say this interview. Like I control the interview to where like they're not asking me questions. Like, oh, like yeah, I did this. This is why I did it. Boom, boom. What are you guys' environment? I try to like take my relevant experience and be like, oh, I've done this. This is how I can do it here. Boom, boom. So that's really like when you're in an interview, you have somewhat experience, you want to take control over it. So it's like they're not drilling you down with questions. Cause like I hate being questioned. Cause like I hate it.
So. Bro, yeah. Like funny enough, like this role I got, I killed the interview because I had all the solutions.
Yeah.
All the stuff they are trying to do now, I had already did.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, especially at Optus with like that big company. I was like, with who we're supporting with Disney. So I was just like,
yeah, that was huge.
I did it already. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, 3 years in, we still was finding new stuff in the environment.
That environment was so fucking big, bro.
Like, and the fact that, see, you was gone, but I was there for the launch of Disney Plus.
Oh, damn. Oh, I know. That was crazy.
It wasn't too bad.
That traffic. Oh, it wasn't?
It went through without a hitch. Like, but when Disney Plus came, they also had added Fox and Hulu. So they started like really.
Yeah, they bought Hulu, didn't they?
Yeah, we had like another sim to log into all that. So
I need to buy Disney Plus then instead of having Hulu, because I got Hulu.
I got Hulu.
Well, my Hulu is free through Spotify.
I got Disney Plus through like my homeboy. So I used his account. He like gave it to us a long time ago. Dad and HBO Max.
Yeah, I got HBO Max too.
But I was gonna say about the questioning thing. I have one of my clients interviews that I have all my clients record that interview so I can listen to them, critique them.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing that a lot of people need to work on is filler words.
Yeah.
You really do make yourself seem like you're not sure yourself like every time you're saying If you say all the time, I know it's hard, but just think about what you're going to say, pause in your head, and start talking.
Star method, man.
It'll help you. Even this also helped me with not saying as much. Or like,
podcasting.
I used to say you know so much.
I say a lot.
Up until a couple of episodes ago, I saw a post. I want to say Liberty Madison probably posted it. And she was saying how saying sometimes take away your credibility of seeing like an expert.
Yeah, because you're trying to think about what you got to say instead of just flat out saying it. Yeah.
And so now I think in my mind before what I'm going to say, slow it down, and then come out.
And that's the thing with people doing interviews as well, too. Like, they be trying to, like, I guess sometimes sound smarter than what they really are. And a lot of times, those people got years and years of experience, so they know a bullshitter when they see one.
Facts.
And you're just talking yourself out of a job, so.
Yes. That's why I tell people when it comes to our interviews, like, so I have, and that's one thing we're going to do one day. If you want to have fun, we can go live, and I have these SOC analyst interview questions, and you can see people's answers.
Oh, no, we should do that.
You can see people's answers on the Google Sheets.
On TikTok.
And I told one dude straight, I said, bro, I know you didn't know the answer, but I can see all you did was slap something from Google and throw it on here versus trying to make sense of what I asked you and put it in your own words. That's not going to fly. I was like, don't get me wrong, I Google all the time, but I put it in my own words.
I know how to explain it.
I'll tell a soft skill that a lot of people don't recognize is like knowing your audience. So if you know your audience, you have no problem if you want to move through corporate.
Yeah.
Because them people that your manager report to, they don't understand all that stuff about data pipelines.
So that's one thing about my manager, like my director, he actually is very technical, and I love it.
That's how, so Yahoo manager, super technical. That's why I wanted to work on Paranoids. I literally had the offer, but they had to put it on hold in Q4.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't feel like waiting around. But JP Morgan had me bent, so I definitely didn't want to do that no more. And then Target, when I was interviewing for the lead CSER analyst at Target, and they had to put that on hold too.
That was during the pandemic, or no?
This was last year. This was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that was I'll tell you, that was like a cool, like, that was like one of the more challenging interviews I had with a director, but he was like, he asked me about looking for lateral movement and then data exfiltration on a Linux box. And then we was talking about like SSH, and you're saying like they went into the files of to get the MFA codes.
Mm-hmm.
It was fire. And listen, it's a strategy. I think I said on another episode, but all I do is string my interviews along and questions I really like that I think somebody might ask me in another interview. I take a mental note of them and get better on that answer and then tell the next person.
Yeah, no, that's because I'm trying to actually move more in like a DevSecOps role now, like data engineering, like, you know, the data pipeline, CI/CD pipeline one. I'm trying to go into like stuff like that now because like I still want to be in a cybersecurity role, but like I know like big data is like huge. Like,
I need to, honestly, I want to look more into a lot of companies. It's going to eventually happen, but there are really no real guidelines over AI right now.
Oh, yeah. We actually working on that right now.
So once that happens with the generative AI, that's going to be big. So that's another niche. Just like, I don't know if
that's kind of going to big data, though, when you think about it.
I don't know if you watched my episode that I did with Erin Railford. She works for Google. She's a privacy data engineer.
No, I
those are some of the things like we talk about.
And actually, link that in here. You got to link that in this episode so I can go back.
I'll link it here. But we need to ask, real quick, a day in the life of a security engineer at a blockchain company.
Mm-hmm.
And I told people a lot of times too, this dude is doing so good at work. They interviewed me out the strength that we worked together. Swear to God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How did they go anyway? Did y'all ever interview?
We interviewed. One of the things I was struggling with last year a lot toward the end was I had a year of really not being super technical. So I had lost like a lot of some of my skill set because I also had been doing all this other stuff. So it's hard to like really study for different things.
Yeah.
But I also knew they probably was looking for somebody a little bit more engineer focused.
For sure.
Because that's what happened with me. I interviewed, I was interviewing with this company called Woven Planet.
Mm-hmm.
and they work on like autonomous vehicles and working on the software and that. They're a subsidiary of Toyota. They have a freaking smart city in, was it China or Japan, called Susanoo.
Oh, so like Sasuke Susanoo.
Nah, for real, bro. It's like, it's fire. I wanted to do it because like, this is,
I remember we talked about that. I remember you was talking about that. Yeah.
It's a niche, but like, I was like, that's the thing too, guys. Like, find technology that gets you excited and you'll probably find another passion.
No, for sure.
That's the whole thing. It's like, I did a project on this in grad school. The Internet of Things, smart cities, smart clothes. Mm-hmm. So I already knew this was what, 2018. So what's what, 5 years ago? So going on 6 years, I said within, I think we, in our project, we said within 5, 10, 15 years, this is going to be the norm. Smart cameras, smart, all this different stuff. That's already got it now with these doorbells. I remember, was that Nest? Was that, that wasn't the Nest cameras. Was that Ring cameras? What other cameras was, they got hacked like a year ago. They got hacked. Everybody's looking through people's cameras and stuff and talking on them.
Might have been Ring. I don't know.
Could have been. No telling. But real quick, we want you to bless the audience. A general number of like your total comp. Like, cause listen, so, I didn't even list off where he worked at. But he said it already. He worked at Robinhood. He worked at Opto, Cisco, Booz. He worked for like a startup at one point.
Yeah. So a lot of my comp is in equity right now. And we just won a lawsuit. And so in the secondary market, our stock doubled. And that's a secondary market.
So you got two different. So you got stocks and a crypto.
Okay. So they actually gave us a crypto token too, but so actual equity from the secondary market, it doubled. So the actual, I really don't really truly know the actual value of it, but I know they did have a buyback. Well, not even buyback. They bought. Well, yeah, a buyback, and I think they did the buyback at like $68 a share or something like that. And so if I'm basing upon that number, then I probably have about, I think like 550,000 in stock. But then, you know, I don't really know. So all in all, like if I'm counting my equity too, which I really can't count my equity. Like, let's see.
Listen, you got to bring the calculator up. That's how much bread it is. Let me see.
It's close to 500. And we kind of equity. That's a part of it.
And this is just from one job. I didn't even touch on all the other stuff he's touched on other pods. Cause I was like, this is unique. They don't know him like I know him. So, but quickly, what is like a typical day-to-day for you? Because I know, like, your work is really more so based on tasks. It's like, okay.
Yeah, project.
Once I knock this out, I can go do whatever I want to do.
Like, work-wise? A lot of it, because I really, my director, because we don't have a manager. We have a lead. Like, my direct report is, like, my director. So, like he give me, like, freedom, like, do what you want to do. But that's...
Just have it done.
Yeah, it's good and it's bad. It's good because like I really can guide the success for my career, but it's bad because like if I'm not taking responsibility and discipline enough, it's really easy for me to get caught not doing anything. But right now, so I was working on this data pipeline. I was telling, so we have like a third party that we use for like our sim, and we're trying to like take everything in house right now. And so I was working on like a data pipeline that makes it like extremely easy for us like to onboard data and all that. Cause you know, we're using like BigQuery and all that. Like, cause what a lot of people don't realize, like a lot of sims and stuff like that, it's really going to be based on like big data. Like, so BigQuery, Spark, Apache Spark, all that, like you're really going to be using SQL and a lot of stuff like that to kind of create your queries and do your research and threat detection, threat hunting. That's really what, everything, because it's like, so like, you know, you got Kubernetes, you got all this DevOps, you got this infrastructure and all this data, and it's like, you know, the traditional thing, like think about putting all that data in Splunk, it's way too expensive. Way too much money. And you know, a lot of companies are realizing this now because they're adopting all this new technology, so they have to go to like BigQuery and big data, stuff like that. And so I had to pretty much kind of create a data pipeline that handles terabytes and terabytes of data. You know, making sure we were getting that, you know, no errors in that. And so basically what I kind of did, I built like an ECS cluster or whatever using Vector. I'm getting super technical right now.
That's cool.
But yeah, I just ended up like kind of building that out or whatever. And it was a lot of infrastructure. I had to build up a lot of stuff that I didn't take into account for. So I just finished that up now. And so right now I'm going into like a space of like hardening like our HashiCorp vault instances and all of that. So I'm doing that as well too. And I'm also looking at implementing like runtime monitoring for like our non-Kubernetes stuff, and probably doing like some external attack surface monitoring and stuff like that. So it's a lot, bro. And that's just like the high level stuff. That's not even like, you know, stuff that just comes up and like, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. But I'm not gonna lie, this is like, I haven't had this much fun and learning experience since Booz Allen. So that's a lot. I've definitely been learning a lot. Like, I've been forced to really, I'm really moving as a data engineer, which is like really good because I want to go into like that DevSecOps space. So like Terraform, I'm Git, all like all that policy is code, Centennial, or Centennial, whatever Centennial, I think Centennial, policy is code, infrastructure is code. Like I'm doing a lot with like cloud engineering, cloud stuff, cloud infrastructure. So yeah.
Man, that's fire. Listen, we want this to be longer, but we had some snafus in the beginning. We definitely going to do a part two, and it'll probably be at a special location. But if y'all did appreciate this conversation, y'all know what to do. Hit the like button, subscribe, hit all the notifications. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave us a review. And if you want to donate, the link's in the description. And if you want to follow Tay, his social media handles will be in the description as well. But like your boy always say, it's your boy HD. Until next time, let's stay textual, and we out.
All right.